If you want to see more companies make things in America, consider buying more things from companies who are already doing that very thing. Companies like American Giant. These guys have been making t-shirts, sweatshirts, flannels, and blue jeans in America for the last 14 years, with cotton grown right here in the USA. That means good jobs for lots of hardworking Americans in factory towns all over the country. Check out their stuff in stores everywhere, or pick up something awesome at American-Giant.com.
Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Good morning, good evening, wherever you're tuning in from. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are all here with me today. We've got another wonderful show in store for you with a dear old friend and former host on talkradio.nyc. Ooh, and by the way, did you happen to catch the A-Train to Sedona yesterday? Because Linda interviewed yours truly on her show this week. So if you want to get a double dose of your conscious consultant this week, catch the A-Train to Sedona replay on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/talkradioNYC. All right, let's get going. I'm really looking forward to bringing my guest on today. So let me get to my blog post. Which is actually a pretty interesting one for today. It's entitled, "We Can Make the Impossible Possible When We Hold Open the Space for It to Happen." There are things in life that we feel will never happen. We feel like they are impossible because we can't see a way. Trying to figure out a way to make it happen seems pointless. We give up hope and doubt we will ever see it happen. And so we are right. Without hope and without trust, we make it impossible. Because we can't see a way for it to happen, we don't even try. To hold a space for the possibility is beyond us. So without that space, there is no room for life to make it happen. For we did not allow for the possibility, however remote, that it could actually happen. Our doubt can protect us from harm, and it often keeps us from our dreams. Yet when we learn to hold open the possibility that the incredibly unlikely event can happen, we give it space. More importantly, we allow ourselves to take a chance and actually try to make it happen. And that little bit of room is more than enough for life to wiggle into existence that dream of ours. We can make the apparently impossible possible. But only if we hold open in our hearts the chance that it will actually happen. Of course, it might not. And that is something we need to be able to live with. For holding open the possibility without attachment to the result is hard indeed. Things may show up in a different way than we expect. They may look differently. Or the timing may be completely different than our desire. Holding open the possibility with a light grip is so important. For miracles do happen. Every day, somewhere out there, something impossible just manifested. That can happen for us as well. It might not, but it definitely won't if we don't believe it could. For when we are so certain that it won't happen, we won't even try. We don't hold space for it, and close ourselves off from the possibility. So we must learn that no matter how unlikely something is to happen, it can still happen. If we want it badly enough, we will hold on to that possibility no matter how remote. And in that space of believing something is possible, we can actually bring it into being. Is there something in your own life that feels impossible that you can hold open to the possibility that it will happen? So I really have to give kudos to my wife for this one because she really catches me. She's one of the few people who can actually catch me when I'm not being open, when I'm not being in my heart, when I'm not being connected to spirit. And, you know, our minds are very tricky creatures. Our minds are so good at proving to us why something won't happen. And the thing is, what we often forget, and what's always been a big lesson for me personally, is that the whys don't matter. It's really about the how. How could it potentially come about? How could we somehow, could life bring to us this seemingly impossible thing? And so when she catches me and she says, oh, we can make the impossible possible, just by giving it space, just by being open to the possibility that maybe somehow, some small chance it could happen, we're actually giving room to life to bring it to us. But when we cut ourselves off from that possibility, when we say, no, nah, there's no way, we don't even look, we don't pay attention, and that happenstance meeting goes by and we don't give it a second thought, whereas if we held open the possibility, we might have realized in that happenstance meeting that, oh, you know, maybe this person might be the key to something happening. And then we spend a little more time, we be a little more open, we check into it, and you just never know. Now, look, I'm not talking about the possibility of winning lotto, although, of course, that's always possible. But I'm talking about, you know, meeting that life partner or having an opportunity to do something with your dream. You know, ever since I was a kid, I always wanted to do something in the space industry. But, you know, back then, the only way to get into it, you had to be an astronaut. But if you had glasses, you didn't have 20/20 vision, you can get into it. You had to go through the military and be an Air Force pilot. You know, now none of those things are true anymore. But I didn't hold open the possibility that there might be other ways to get involved. And then, you know, when the web first launched and I connected with a friend and we created this business to serve aerospace companies online, I found myself working in the aerospace industry. I had a business in the aerospace industry. And I worked at that for close to 7 years until the Shuttle Columbia blew up. But it just goes to show that, like, our dreams can show up in ways we don't expect. It may not look like what we thought it should exactly look like. It may not happen exactly when we think it'll happen. But that's not the point. The point is, even if we can touch something close to it, isn't that worth it? It's so funny because I took a couple of acting classes back when I was in college, and I never really took it seriously. I never thought I'd be in film or anything. But I met a lot of people who were like, they wanted to be a star. They wanted to be in front of the camera. And then years later, I bumped into one of them and I'm like, what are you doing? Oh, I'm working on production. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm having a great time. And so their dream came true. It's just they weren't in front of the camera. They were behind the camera. And to me, that was such a great symbology that sometimes our ego, and we come up with a dream and our ego hijacks it. And it's like, we have to be the one in front of the camera. We have to be the one leading the charge. We have to be what's up. And the truth is, we just want to be involved in it in somehow. And that truly what life brings us, it might not be being in front of the camera, but it might be involved with being behind the camera in some fashion. And we find out that, you know what? We actually enjoy being behind the camera. So there are many, many, many different ways in which life can bring us the quote-unquote impossible. But in order to accept something that doesn't quite look like it, but actually is very aligned with our dream, that's why we have to hold open the space, the possibility that maybe somehow, some way, the impossible can happen for us, because it can happen for anyone. You know, there's this expression, I first heard it in a movie somewhere, that miracles happen. They are just extremely, extremely improbable. But miracles do happen every day. If you do a search online looking for, you know, what miracles happened today, you could probably find people saying, oh, this was a miracle. My cancer went into remission. I found my long lost, child or parent, this, that. Now, look, this is not to say there are not lots of horrors in the world and tragedies and things to be sad about. Life is full of everything, but that's the point. It's full of everything. And we do not have the perspective. We do not have all the information. We do not have the ability to see whether something truly, truly, truly is impossible or not. So while it might seem impossible today, if we hold open the possibility that somehow it could happen, never know. Just never know what tomorrow might bring. The future is completely unknown. So why not hold open the possibility that a miracle can happen? And it can happen for anyone. Does not matter your situation. Does not matter what you've done in the past. It can happen for anyone. So, that's my blog post for this week. It's entitled, We Can Make the Impossible Possible When We Hold Open the Space for It to Happen. And of course, you can always find my blog posts at theconsciousconsultant.com and on the talkradio.nyc website at talkradio.nyc/blog. All right. Now, it is my extreme pleasure to welcome to the show Emmy-winning interviewer, producer, and fellow podcast host, Callie Alpert. Callie is a 3-time Emmy-winning interviewer, producer, and podcast host who has created long and short-form programming and content for multiple networks, including NBC, Discovery, E!, Sony, Fox, all kinds of social media platforms, Facebook, YouTube, E! Online, Spotify, and for many famous TV hosts like Jane Pauley, Meredith Vieira, and Dr. Oz, and such brands as Crest, the Mohonk Mountain House, and Olay. Her deep listening and adept question-asking skills have garnered her a reputation for heartstring storytelling and intimate conversations from which listeners can gain wisdom, access their own vulnerability, laugh, and cry. Callie's subjects range from Sheryl Crow to Richard Branson, Deepak Chopra to Halle Berry, Shiyi Bastida to Dwight Howard, war vets to agoraphobics and everyday heroes to incarcerated mothers. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Callie.
Oh, Sam, thank you so much. It's so good to be back with you.
Yeah, same here, same here. It's been a little while since we've connected. But for our audience who might not know about your former show on the network, which we still have some old episodes of the Rob and Callie show, maybe we'll give them a little brief background of you before we go to our first break. Like, you know, how did you get into the, I guess you would say the entertainment industry or production industry? Like, is this something you always wanted to do since you were a little kid? Did you pretend to be like Johnny Carson late at night? Or is this something that just developed later in life?
No, it actually did start very, very early on. I was about 5 years old and I was interviewing my teddy bears in my bedroom in New Jersey. Where I was growing up and studying Barbara Walters.
Oh.
So it's fascinating when you think back after many decades of being on this planet of how certain things are laid out for you in some way, whether it's, you know, your fate or your unconscious sort of knowing ahead of time. But yeah, I was an early bloomer in terms of being clear about finding my way into this, you know, this industry. I was.
And I'm sure those teddy bears had some very wise things to tell you.
They did. And they probably still hold a bunch of secrets somewhere. Yeah. And God knows where they are now. But
okay. Wonderful. Wonderful. Okay. Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, let's talk about what's your own particular angle that you like to use when you're interviewing people, like when you're creating content, you know, what is it that you really love to focus on, and how is that related to just what you feel your mission in life is? Okay.
Sounds great.
Wonderful. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on talkradio.nyc and all over social media on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and Twitch. And we will be right back with our guest, Callie Appert, in just a moment.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
If you don't have your health, what do you really have? It's time to feel good in your body and shift from struggle to ease. Hi, I'm Elizabeth Tripp, your host of Nourish the Soul, where we explore the sacred wisdom of your body while you sit back, relax, and go on a journey of self-discovery. Join me every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to awaken your heart, transform your well-being, and unlock a deeper understanding of yourself.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. So, Callie, So from a relatively young age, you kind of knew like you were into this whole interviewing, asking deep questions, things like that.
Oh, I did.
What kind of drives you? What are you looking to kind of bring out in the conversations that you have with people?
Wow. It's changed over the years.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really interesting question to start out of the gate. I would say that early on, because when earlier in my career, when I was asking questions of people, they were mostly celebrities, rock, musicians. I was working on a lot of entertainment programming.
Okay.
And often there was an agenda that was sort of dictated by the network or the show that I was working on that was pretty strictly promotional,
mm-hmm.
because they were marketing a movie or a new album or whatever it may have been. And what I would do separately is sneak in my own questions for my own edification that would never be used in the final product, because that's what I was more interested in was, number one, giving them something refreshingly different when they were doing loads of interviews and being asked the same questions. I wanted to kind of just inspire them. I also wanted to have a little bit of a connection with a deeper part of them. I would say that was the most important priority for me.
Mm-hmm.
Was really getting to the nuts and bolts of people's souls in whatever way and capacity I could do that. So that's probably a bottom line answer, is that I like to know how people tick, and I like to hear wise people share their wisdom and their experiences. And I probably most importantly always want to hold a space for people's vulnerability and to give them a safe place to share emotions or deeper thoughts. You know, we're not a society that's very inclined to do that, or at least over the last, you know, 30, 40 years of my career coming up, that wasn't top priority, as you well know. It's kind of an aberration to go deep. It still scares people a lot, right?
Yeah.
So that's exactly what I always wanted to do, whether I was doing it with a microphone or a camera or just with my friends, you know, hanging out over tea or whatever.
Yeah. Cool. So you got to interview some pretty well-known people, didn't you?
I did. Yeah. For many years, I had the pleasure of interviewing a lot of my heroes. I would say probably especially the rock stars, because I'm kind of a rocker chick at heart. and they're all great artists, whether they were actors or writers or performers or poets, you know, over the years. Again, this was a long time ago. This was in the earlier pieces, parts of my career when I was really cutting my teeth. But yes, I did. And I do have some standout stories and
So I just want to ask, just
memories.
Just the biggest one, like who did you interview that really you were so looking forward to the interview, and just that really surprised you? Like you learned something about them that made you really go, wow, I never would have thought of that.
I would say David Bowie.
Oh.
Who was way more, I'm not saying I was wildly surprised, but I was, it was way more expansive than I would have expected in terms of his intelligence, artistry. And when I say artistry, I don't mean him as a music maker. That was a given, but we did his interview in an art gallery in Los Angeles, and his knowledge of art and books and poetry and life. And he was just even more dynamic than you would have expected. You know, that was really beautiful memory. And then conversely, there were plenty of people where it wasn't so riveting or where you may have loved their art. And there's a reason that they pour all of their passion and their wisdom into what they create, because when you meet them in person, that's not their primary, you know, comfort level or outlet. And then some of those were frankly a little disappointing.
Right.
But yeah, it was a very interesting chapter of my life, and I definitely have some stories that and memories that I'm really grateful for.
I bet. What's been the most sort of challenging part over the years for yourself personally? Like, what, when you look back over it, was really the challenge that maybe you ended up growing a lot from?
Challenge in terms of as an interviewer and question asker, or just in my career overall?
Just in you overall as a person.
Wow.
You said you like deep conversation.
I do. You know, I do. And also it's way easier for me to be the one asking the questions and answering them as much as, which by the way, I'm going to digress for just a second.
Sure.
The dynamic of growing into feeling like I had something to share and a story to share versus facilitating other stories really started when I did the Rob and Callie show. And Rob and I were doing a half hour show and we were pretty committed to just interviewing people. And then he suggested we expand an hour and was pretty insistent that he and I in and of ourselves had enough interesting things to say. And it was a huge growing moment for me because I never thought I had a lot more to ask about than I did to share. So here we are many years later. I've grown into that in a comfortable way. And so I wanted to share that. I don't know if you knew that.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, but it kind of speaks to, for all of your listeners, to the idea of stepping into your power in a different kind of way.
Right.
When you're living in any kind of a dynamic, whether it's in your life personally or professionally, when you're in a certain role or label, as we'd say, and then you realize once you start to find your own voice and find your own power and your own value, that you might have a lot more to offer than you realized you did. So it was just, you know, it's an important lesson. Back to your question. Wow. Oh, it's such an important question. There's so many answers. The one that comes to mind would be about being in alignment with myself. And whether that was in relationship, in romantic relationships, friendships, or work. And I've spent a lot of time being out of alignment with myself and not even knowing it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing, right? We can be out of, we don't always give it so much thought, so then we can drift out of alignment little by little by little or a lot, and we don't even realize until one day we wake up and go, oh my God, what am I doing?
Yeah, and then you kind of have to do a lot of retroactive work to catch up with yourself, as she says, fresh out of therapy an hour ago. so I'm bringing that with me today in your honor.
Gotcha.
But how do I expound on that to be helpful to people and kind of just share a little bit more? I feel like perhaps when I grew up, there were a lot of shoulds. I think we all grew up with different levels of shoulds.
Absolutely.
You know, whether it was because of my being raised by a mentally ill mother who sort of ruled the roost in the family, kind of homeostasis of the family. So everything was not about me or my sister. It was about her. To my dad as a depression era baby and what that meant in terms of money and scarcity and putting food on the table and not pursuing things like your bliss and your spiritual joy and your alignment. Those were not words used, you know, in our household. It was really more about just surviving and supporting family and creating strong relations, you know, all the things that are important that we all care about. But it wasn't about like soul searching and finding yourself and all these things that you and I love and have the luxury of being able to do as we've, you know, gotten into our own lives. So with that, I would say those were sort of precursors I didn't know at the time for doing a lot of things that I didn't even know what alignment with myself meant. And so whether I was in relationships where I was complicit in kind of like people, men that were that weren't there for partnership or to, you know, to live in a place of sharing, but where it was more about a self-centered sort of dynamic. I reenacted that one a lot in my younger years, or being in jobs where it was really great on paper because the title was great and the money was great and I was climbing up the ranks, but I also wasn't doing using my artistry and my heart and soul because I was too busy surviving in a structure that was kind of cutthroat and didn't really jibe with who I was, but getting lost in that. And yeah, so a lot of those things continued in different ways for many, many years. And I think it's important to, when you find that place where often it's because of a crisis or many or a series, things crack open, whether it's death or you lose a relationship or you get laid off or whatever it is, those house of cards come kind of flying down, and that's where you, you know, where you can awaken, kind of get everything stripped away, you become a little bit more raw, and then you realize how far away you drifted from yourself. So yeah. I'm encapsulating a lifetime of what, you know, you and I understand into a, you know, a quick answer or two. But I would say that's probably one of the bigger lessons that I've had to learn over the years. And then what a beautiful thing when you finally find your way back to yourself.
Yes, yes, absolutely, absolutely. And you're kind of touching upon what was going to be my next topic we were going to go to, which is sort of finding your path and our spirituality, one of the things that we have very much in common and why we get along so well together is we have this common love for understanding the nature of the universe in a very deep way.
Mm-hmm.
But first, we have to take our next break. So we'll start on that path when we return. Okay.
Perfect.
All right. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We'll be right back with my guest, Callie Alpert, in just a moment.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be Frank About Health with all of you.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A-Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A-Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
So, Callie, one of the things that we have in common is kind of having a somewhat spiritual path in life. I mean, everyone's path is spiritual in some way or another, but for us, it's a very conscious pursuit.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if maybe you can share for the audience sort of how that came about for you. Is it something that you had for a long time or something more recent? And what was the impact that it's had on you in your life?
Wow, Sam. These questions are so beautiful and profound and deliciously challenging to answer. So thank you.
You're welcome.
When I always had a sense of something higher than myself. When I was a kid, I pictured some version of a God figure up in the sky, almost with a pushing buttons or a monkey grinder or something that was like making all of us little puppets on Earth kind of do our thing and move around and function on this planet without any much of an understanding other than that. But I always felt like there was something that was larger that was overseeing us, or shall I say in control, even though that's not the, you know, not the best word, but, and then when I was in my, you know, and I probably grew up, I would say my mom definitely had, a paranormal appreciation. So while that might not be exactly the same thing, it had to do with, you know, just energies that go beyond our senses and things that we can't see. And so, you know, in the 70s, she was going to spoon bending classes and TM meditation weekends and taunting us by not telling us what her mantra was and all these kinds of things. I was sort of influenced a little bit, you know, that way. When I graduated from college, somehow that's when it started to kick in. And I got really curious. And I, it's fascinating how once you become curious and clear about something that you want, it sort of speaks to a little bit of what you were saying earlier with your blog post reading about making space for things. My curiosity became larger. I remember I got really into crystals. I don't remember why, probably because the boyfriend that I had when I graduated college was very into carrying crystals around in his pocket, and somehow that like woke something up in me. But it's interesting how you find your way to the people and the situations without knowing why in the, at the moment, right? And they do open up these huge portals of paths in our lives. So I think I was curious. I started reading books. You know, I would go to those metaphysical bookstores and do what they said. Well, wait, and some book will fall off the shelf for you, and you'll know which one you're supposed to read. And it was true, right? Figuratively falling off the shelf, at least. And I would say then I really got more into my therapeutic path, because for me, my therapeutic and spiritual path have been very coexistent now for the last like 3 to 4 decades.
Okay.
I actually think that they need that. It's a smart thing when you're on a spiritual path that the other one, you know, you can't really have one without the other, because you have to make space for the spiritual piece to come in. And I think, I just started to really get more curious and start reading more books and movies. It really wasn't until I met my most formative teacher, and this is less than 10 years ago. I'm now just into my 60th, my year 61. So in my mid 50s that I met my very formative, important teacher, psychotherapist and spiritual teacher, who reminded me of what hard work the spiritual path is.
Yeah.
And that it's one thing to learn about it and have a curiosity and read the books, but it's another to really start making a commitment to yourself and gutting yourself out and having a sense of vigilance and commitment to a practice that you really graduate to another level of devotion and commitment to becoming spiritual, whatever that means to people. These words are so overused these days.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to pinpoint it to a particular, you know, I mean, there's definitely when you go through just the ride of your life, whether it's just all kinds of crises that happen and lots of challenges for many years, whether it's, you know, again, big spates in my work life, lots of money scarcity, lots of singleness, lots of difficulty with my parents as they aged. Lots of misalignment in a lot of areas, the death of a boyfriend. You know, I mean, we all have our different experiences that we go through, who was young when he died from a mental break and psychotic episode. So all of these different things, depending on who you are, if you can either lean into them and learn and feel through them or not.
Right.
And that's a very conscious choice. And so I chose the former. Most often is not pretty, not easy.
Yes,
but I always, but I was very, very devoted to doing that because I wanted to learn from everything. And I do believe that we all write a script in a divine place that predisposes everything that happens to us. So I never believe that things just sort of happen. I believe that some part of my higher soul wrote every single thing that I've experienced because this time around, in this particular lifetime, I'm here to continue those levels of learning. And that I've always known intellectually, but I didn't embody it. So it wasn't until I started working with the teacher, I just kind of flipping around here just to get a little bit more meat on the bones about my 30s and 40s. But it wasn't until I started working with this teacher and he said to me, you know, you have to really choose, you have to want, it might've been a Rumi quote or something. You have to want the spiritual path as much as a drowning man wants air. And I remember him saying this to me very early on in our knowing each other. And I thought, well, who the hell would want to do that? That doesn't sound like fun. And I certainly am not going to sign up for it. And then I realized that I was signing up for it. And yeah. It's been my number one priority ever since, in a really conscious way, choosing it as many moments of the day as I can remember, devoting myself to as much of a daily practice as I'm willing to commit to every day, and making my relationship with my knowledge of God my number one priority over everything else.
And that causes its own challenges with things like just making a living and career, and as you talked about before, being misaligned, right? There are a lot of things in the world that can push us to be misaligned. But when we're consciously choosing, like, no, I want to be in alignment with what truly speaks to my heart, my soul, that can cause its own unique challenges, doesn't it?
It does. You know, a lot of people will say that to be on a spiritual path is a privilege, or you have to have a lot of money in the bank so you can sit cross-legged on the mountain all day long. You know, I mean, but the truth is, and this again was, you know, I've learned this, is that every moment is your learning, right? So it's not, they're not mutually exclusive. And it doesn't mean that it's for people of privilege. It means that you're choosing to lean into every moment, every challenge, every joy, every heartache, every moment of the day, to the whatever degree any human can do that, right? But it's using, so when people say, what's the meaning of life? Meaning of life is life itself. It's showing up for exactly what is happening. And so, yes, that can certainly create some challenges or duality. But inside of that is exactly what we're talking about. It's try to find your way to, how do I make money and prioritize? You know, it's the integration piece. I'm not sure I have the magic sauce yet for that, or I'd offer it freely.
Integration is absolutely, people know I talk about it on my show quite a bit. I'm curious, as the years have gone on, and maybe in the most recent, you know, last few years, has it been more challenging, less challenging? Has it been something that the holding of the spiritual path, the importance of it, has it eased in some way, or is it as challenging today as it was years ago?
It's definitely eased. The process, the commitment and the process has eased. The circumstances haven't eased. There's always going to be stuff that pops up, right?
Right.
But the level, you know, equanimity is one of the magic words, right? That we try, that we strive for, spiritual aspirants. It's creating space around our narratives and dislodging ourselves from the web of the different storylines that are in our lives every day. That has definitely become easier because I've worked so hard to fortify my center. And it's not like I walk around in La La Land smiling and joyful and walking on air every day, because I'm far from that, as lovely as that sounds. Who doesn't want to be in dreamy samadhi space all day long? But the idea of managing life and showing up for it and dealing with the challenges, because the easy, yummy stuff is always easier to have spaciousness around, right?
Yes.
Yes, it's become significantly easier.
Yeah.
And I think it's also just because it's like a muscle memory thing. You know, you change your, like, meditation, for example, right? I mean, that's it is a muscle that you exercise, and it does, the more you do it, the more reflexive it is, and the more it really works, and the more space really starts to collect in there in our reserve tanks. And so if you have more space and more distance from all the stuff, it's a start,
right?
It
definitely helps. It definitely supports. In terms of your work now, though, have you focused more on the spiritual side, or, like, is your work and your spiritual practice your spiritual practice?
Well, for the, when I was younger, they were very dualistic, right? It was sort of like my personal life and then my work life, and how in the world could the two of them, I would, or very early on in my career, be commuting from New Jersey. I was living at my parents' house at the time in my first few jobs in New York City, reading Shirley MacLaine books on the platform of the train, waiting for the train while I had on my silly little outfits I didn't want to wear and trying to tame my wild hair, which I didn't really want to do. So I was in a real place of duality, and it was not fun. I struggled with that for a really long time. And then once I started to integrate inside myself more, that's when the circumstances start to integrate externally. So slowly but surely, some of the TV shows that I worked on gave me the space to start lobbying for more unconventional and integrative health and meditation or energy healers or things like that. Right. And so slowly my integration, again, when you kind of look at it and sit with it and start to love it more on the inside, it starts showing up more on the outside, right? That is one of the magic bullets for sure. And so more recently, I had worked for a holistic study retreat center for a bunch of years and had the good fortune of hosting a podcast where I was exclusively interviewing spiritual and wellness luminaries. So that was a great, great joy. That was for Omega Institute, the podcast. And that was a real highlight of my tenure there in that job. And it was during COVID. It was a very, very tough time on a lot of levels. And misalignment was a very big piece of that job for me too. That was the part that was challenging, but the podcast part was very, very aligned with who I was. But the idea of being able to be in the company of some of these great luminaries that we, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners and guests either are or know, has been a great reflection of more integration for me. Now I'm in the in-between and developing my own business now too, trying to use all of my parts in the most authentic and aligned way I possibly can, which is hard. It takes a lot of chutzpah because it can't always find it on the outside. And if you want to live from a place, so yes, my goal is to be more integrated. The desire is to use all of my hard-won lessons to serve other people. It's really all I care about professionally, and to be able to pay the rent in the process.
Yeah, to be supported by doing our life's calling. And you're leading perfectly into what I want to talk about when we come back from break, which is, what are you doing now? What kind of things are you working on, so our audience can know, what's Callie up to today? But we'll get into that right after we take our break, okay?
Sounds great. Thank you.
Wonderful. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we'll be right back with our guest, Callie Alpert, to wrap it all up.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your Conscious Consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
So, Callie, we've given people a tremendous amount of background on you. So let's get into what are you doing now? How are you trying to sort of bring your integration of all that you've learned together into what you're offering for people now?
Thank you for asking. Well, I will say that as a whole, I'm going to back up just a little bit to the beginning of the year when I got downsized out of my job of the last 4 years. And that was a bit of a shock and not easy, as it never is in these situations. And yet I also knew again that somewhere in my soul, I had already manufactured or created or navigated the situation. You know, again, but it's really important not to bypass and do the spiritual bypass.
Yeah.
Oh, it's meant to be, and I'll figure it out, and blah, blah, blah. I'm a huge proponent of letting yourself feel like you know what for whatever designated period of time, and letting your emotions speak and unleashing all the different tumult that's in there. So this year has been a thawing out year for me in a way that I didn't know I needed to thaw out. And some of it was because of the experiences that I had in this particular job that needed some love in my in my being. And then I also realized that the floodgates behind that that opened up with huge support from my beloved boyfriend, who I know is listening, I'm going to give a shout out to, because he saw a need that I didn't even see because I was too busy. Like, as I always am, trying to fix and over effort and paint a new story and navigate something new and survive, because that's a really old embedded mechanism in me. So I share all this because I think that these are always opportunities to mirror the stuff that comes up and some of it, which is very old and can really use a little bit more kind of unpacking. And it's usually forced on us. It's usually not because we decide we're just going to do it one day. It's because a challenging situation happens, right? So that's part of it, has been just to kind of operate on a few different lanes at the same time. One is just letting myself kind of be in a way that I didn't know I needed to. I didn't know how psychically exhausted I was from life and from a lot of different challenges and chapters that have been really hard for a long time. And the mechanism that's always trying to just kind of fix everything and not pay attention to what's underneath it. So a lot of my time has been spent just letting that kind of be. So that's one piece. But the more practical answer that you're asking about, and I appreciate, is while that's been going on, it's me getting more in touch with what are the parts of me, what are my gifts that I now want to use and put together in a new way to be of service and for me to have the joy and creative alignment that I so desire and love. You know, when you're spending so much time in your work life, it's good to feel good about it, right? So all this said, I have birthed a new business. It's called The Interviewer, INNERviewer.net is the website, theinnerviewer.net. And what it is a comes in a few different forms. I have a one-on-one private life guidance sessions. I don't call myself a life coach per se. It's maybe semantics. Some people might call it life coaching or spiritual life coaching. But what I do is I use my experience as an interviewer and a provocative question asker, or perhaps insightful question asker, some would call me, with a lot of the experience and wisdom that I've gathered collectively from interviewing hundreds, if not thousands of people for 35, 40 years, and my own personal healing journey that I've been on, as we've talked about. And it's a confluence of all those things. And I hold a space. Some people might call it therapy. I'm not a certified therapist, but people tell me I remind them of a therapist. My client said that to me last week. And so that's one piece of it. And the other thing I've been doing, which has also been a beautiful experience and in the early stages, is I've created some mindful communication workshops. They're lunchtime workshops. I did a few test runs at a local university here in upstate New York. And I'm looking to take those to other universities, and it's a way to help provide services, especially for our young adults that have yet to launch into the world, that are lacking in resources for mental health and spiritual health, as we all know, as things get harder and harder on this planet.
Yeah.
So that's just one example. I did a few conscious communication workshops, which were a combination of a practice to get them more familiar with communicating with themselves, and then witnessing how they really show up in communication with other people. So I take a lot of soft skills and I turn them into workshops that kind of fit under the milieu of contemplative practices. So I'm starting to do that with companies. If anybody, any of your listeners have any need for that, that's something that's available also. And I'm available to be contacted for that or for free consults, all on the interviewer.net website.
And for the individuals who come and work with you for life guidance, I've it's a term I heard for the first time like 10 years ago and I've used it myself. What kinds of people do you find are attracted to you? Like what kinds of people really resonate with you and how you work? So that if any of our listeners kind of fit into that, that might be helpful.
Thank you. Definitely all walks of life. I would say probably people that have a little bit more of a language, like a spiritual language. It's not mandatory, but I wouldn't, you know, because I can help people with their, like with career changes, for example, but I wouldn't call myself an executive coach, which is just one style. So my work is more about getting in touch with like who you are from a spiritual perspective and then how you can find applications for that in your daily life, whether it's in relationship with money, with your partner, with your job. So the problems that we work on are universal, but I would say that's probably, somebody who speaks a little bit more of that language would appreciate what I have to offer more.
Beautiful. Well, Callie, it's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Oh, Sam, so good to see you, hear you, be with you. I also just want to honor what you've done for this radio station and or platform and how much work you and all your colleagues have put in to make it, you know, last and give it this length, this amount of shelf life is so commendable. So thank you for still being here.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Kelly. I really appreciate that. Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that the talkradio.nyc as a station, it wasn't always called talkradio.nyc, but as a station, we've been around now over 14 years.
Amazing.
And there's too many other internet radio stations who can make that claim. There used to be, and back when I first took it over 14 years ago, there used to be several others, and now they're just a handful, less than a handful.
And you've always had the purest intention. Like I know your your soul and your inner mensch enough to know that you do everything you do is pervaded with that energy. So that's why you're still here.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Callie. I appreciate that. So just one more time, if anyone in our audience wants to reach out to you, get to know you, understand a little bit more of your work, where would they go again?
It's The Interviewer. So The Inner, INNERVIEWER.net. And that's where you can find information about my one-on-one sessions, my mindful communication workshops, and also interview-oriented work that I do as well for people that want to learn to communicate and engage in different kinds of ways or learn what it's like to understand the art form of question asking, family legacy interviews. That's all on there as well.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Callie. I really appreciate you. It was great having you on the show.
Thank you, Sam.
You're welcome. And of course, thank you, my loyal listeners, for tuning in every week. Without you, there is no show. So I truly appreciate everyone who tunes in. Don't forget, later today, we have Frank Harrison in his show, Frank About Health. Tomorrow, Tommy DeMisa in his show, Philanthropy in Focus. And then we started off next week again, starting off the first show with the week with Dr. Mira Branku and her show, The Hard Skills. So thank you all for tuning in. Take care. We will talk to you all next week.
NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be frank about health with all of you.
If you don't have your health, what do you really have? It's time to feel good in your body and shift from struggle to ease. Hi, I'm Elizabeth Tripp, your host of Nourish the Soul, where we explore the sacred wisdom of your body while you sit back, relax, and go on a journey of self-discovery. Join me every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to awaken your heart, transform your well-being, and unlock a deeper understanding of yourself.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A-Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A-Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.